You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Can only come from you. Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything that on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, need do, should do, must do, and can, will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. Of course, if it wasn't, and it had to be done, it must be done, and you are the one that will do it, because you always come through. And you do it safely. That's right. You wear your mask, you keep your distance, and now you might need two masks. Double mask, three, four masks. Man, stay masked. And but you got to do it. You got to do it. Especially with that South African strain. South African mutation, excuse me, of coronavirus. Vicious. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. If you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that and you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that and then you'll see programs that are dated and titled. And I want to thank Brother Kwaku, always updating. So, you know, if I did a program last week, you probably see it on up there to, you know, this week at least. So we always try to make sure we do that, because some people are asking, and I ain't got no huge listenership, but I got some folks listening, a few. And I appreciate it. Thank you. Continue to do so. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And the times are going to give, that is the Eastern time, and all times I'm going to give our Eastern times. And so on Mondays, for this evening from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs Programming with Brother Wahad Ahmed out of Philadelphia, followed from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Thursdays from 7 to 9, Melanin Live with Chief Lance Jones and Sister Benisiwa Ayan. And then on Fridays, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday, Sports Talk. Excuse me, that's an old one. I apologize for that crossed out. Saturday, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers from 4 to 6 on Saturday. Sister Talk with LaWanda Chambers on Saturday. And then from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. From 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. Sunday, from 7 p.m. until, once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black.
The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. Brothers and sisters, please go online to WeBuyBlack.com and also contribute to the making or the establishing or the building of a American African supermarket right here in the Atlanta area. And we want to put one right in your area, particularly if you have a sizable number of American African community, because we need that. If there's a sizable amount of us, we need to pull our resources and have our own supermarket, have a strip. I mean, I ain't gonna go through that yet. I got more stuff I got to do today, but you know what I mean. And because I've been saying it, and I will continue to say it. Brother Bomani Tahimba, Africa for the Africans. Go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org. My good brother Bomani Tahimba has been taking our people to the motherland on a trip of a lifetime for years now, over 400 of us. Give brother a call at 404-931-9429. That's 404-931-9429. Africa for the Africans. If you want to see photos of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. The upcoming tour is April 2nd through the 12th, going to Senegal and Gambia. And then he'll have a trip in May 24th through June 4th. And that is going to Ghana again. And then in November 18th through the 29th, Tanzania, or as some used to pronounce it, Tanzania, but it you know, I've been informed it's Tanzania. All right. So, Baba Rinoco, he's not having a trip. I still put his information up because Baba Rinoco, Baba Rinoco, he's still trying to inform our people. I love him and respect him. He does not have a trip. He's doing some webinars. He just had one on Return to the Nile Valley this weekend, part one and two on Friday and Saturday. It was $25 a person, you know, and hope that it went well. And then he's having another one this Saturday, the 6th, Saturday the 6th, great African, great American African historians. And it's the cost is $20. $20. There's an early bird cost if you get it in before, well, that's over. So it's $20. This Saturday, 11 a.m. on a Zoom, and I don't have the details, but I'll make sure I get them so I can get them to you. And then on the 12th, he has a presentation, a one-on-one conversation with Dr. Baina Bello of Haiti. Sister Baina, she has a book of the women of the Haitian Revolution, where she will talk about the sisters in the Haitian Revolution. And I had her on my program doing the same. And beautiful sister, beautiful Baina Bello. If you go to YouTube and put in Baina Bello, B-E-L-L-O, Baina, B-A-Y-Y-I-N-A-H, Baina Bello, it's just, she's dynamic. And so he's going to have a conversation. That's Friday, February 12th, 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. It's the evening. And I'll definitely be on that call on Friday, February 12th, Brother Rinoco. Habashah Incorporated, Habashah Works, HabashahIncorporated.org. Brothers and sisters, go to Habashah, which stands for Helping Africans by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. Habashah Works and all the projects that they have. You know, I tell you, I love Habashah Incorporated. These brothers and sisters are doing the work here and on the continent. The Kashi Project, they have that developed a beautiful model happening in Ghana. And there's others going up to it. I tell you, it's a lot of things that are happening. So go to HabershawIncorporated.org and check out what they're doing, and contribute if you would, you know, if you have the ability to do so. And that's why I'm doing these announcements. I'm asking you to look at this objectively, and if you can, contribute. The Ledge Group. The Ledge Group stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. The Ledge Group, of course, deals with the four areas that human beings need to sustain themselves, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. And they're doing it right on the motherland, and they have 12 projects that they're doing. They also have, and they're active in six countries with 172 people employed and over 260 members, and they need more members. They need other brothers and sisters contributing. The Ledge Group. Go to ledgegroup.com and check it out for yourself. Go to ledgegroup.com. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa. Us Lifting Us, their Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night at 9, from 9 to 10 on Blog Talk Radio. That's Blog Talk Radio. radio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win. That's every Thursday night at 9 p.m. from 9 to 10. Us Lifting Us. Also, too, you can call to listen, just to listen, or you can call to give questions, comments, or concerns at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar, located in the West End of here in Atlanta on Ralph David Abernathy, down the street from Shrine of the Black Madonna and across the street from Soul Veg. It's right in that mix. Another place that we have, that we support, is is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. My good brother, Brother Kazimde Ajamu. They have a nice coffee bar now. And give brother a call. He has nice books, t-shirts, all kinds of good stuff at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. It is a beautiful place. It is a sacred place. It is a place that is ours. The number is 404-519-8107. That's 404-519-8107. And the Medu Bookstores, Mama Nia, she has moved from where she was near the food court, and now she's right in that mix, and that big walkway there before you get to the food court. So not far, just a few feet. And give Mama Nia a call at the Medu Bookstore at 404-346-3263. She's supposed to be opening up, I believe, real soon. If she's not open already, because, she's been organizing, and she might be open already. 404-346-3263. Give her a call and see if that's the case. And so when I'm back here on Wednesday, we'll, make that announcement. Sanjay Dash Haiti, Sister Gabrielia, who's doing outstanding work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. She deserves to be supported as well. Go to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-Y .org. Sanjay Dash Haiti. Baba Baruti and Mama Ya Baruti, once again, doing an outstanding job of working with our children at Akabin Institute. If you are inclined, you can go to Cash App. I've been giving out the information old school. If you want to make a check or money order out, and not a lot of people don't do that too much, but hey, I do, because I'm old school. But I do use Cash App, and so I donate to Akabin Institute through Cash App, and that's $YA. Y-A-A, the letter M, Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. And even if it's $25 a month, $10 a month, whatever, I'm saying it supports what great work that they are doing. Also, too, if you want to get books, go to Akabin House, akabinhouse.com, Akabin House. You can get the Inye Say Some, Volume 2, which I'm going to read from in a moment. Inye Say Some, the book for date, the calendar of revolutionary daily thoughts. Revolutionary thoughts. Also, too, this Friday is the Science Fair, the 13th Annual Youth Health Science Fair Exchange. The title this year, this Friday, is The Age of Surveillance. Cameras are everywhere. Cameras are always on. And some of the things we're going to talk about is the 5G, artificial intelligence, the COVID-19, mini ground cell towers, microwave radiation, smart devices, all kind of stuff, immunity. And that's this Friday from 1 to 3. Please listen. I'm going to give you the Zoom. If you have Zoom, put in the Zoom ID, which is 807-211-2759. That's 807-211-2759. The passcode is Pearl, P-E-A-R-L. That's P-E-A-R-L. If you have want more information, give them a call at 404-344-2777. That's 404-344-2777. Pearl Academy. Okay, Pearl 8 Academy. Okay. This is hosted by the Metro Atlanta Black Independent School System. It is fantastic. It is fantastic. That's Friday. But on Saturday, I know I mentioned Renoco has one in the evening, and Baba Baruti and Mama Yabaruti, theirs is during the day. Baba Baruti, these are the quarterly meetings, and this is on effective rites of passage program. So this is for the brothers, and that is from 12 to 3, from 12 p.m. to 3, 12 noon to 3, okay? And the cost is $20 for warriors in training, $10 for the young brothers. Okay, warrior man, 20, and warriors in training, the young brothers, $10. Put in men's quarterly, your name, the email address where you can send you the streaming link. That's all you got to do, and you'll be set for Saturday. And remember, this is a three-hour course, noon to 3. And then following for Mama Ya, Eniaba Rudy, her program is on Saturday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., from 4 to 6. Title of the topic of the program, When a Woman Heals. When a Woman Heals. And once again, quarterly sister circle, your name, your email address, so they can send you the link. That's Baba Ya Baruti and Sister Inya Baruti. Inye Say Sim. I think I'm ready for the Inye Say Sim. I believe I thanks I's ready for the Inye Say Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Oh, okay. Mama Nabantu, thank you, dear. There is a Pan-African Federalist Movement. You heard me mention this many times. Town Hall Meeting, February 20th. That's right, February 20th. And yes, I will do libation, Mama Nabantu. Yes, I will do that. Of course I will do that for you. And that is going to be in the evening, 7 to 8:30. Town Hall Meeting, right on. And I'll give details and more information on that. And, of course, have Mama Nabantu come on and talk about, because, you know, the Pan-African Federalist Movement is on time and it's needed right now for all the things that are happening. And we, as brothers and sisters who are members of it, you must become a member, because it affects us all. It affects African people on the continent and throughout the diaspora. This is a very serious time. Very serious time. Okay, good. Working on a flyer. Need that. All right, Mama Nabantu. Hope you'll join me later for conversation. The Inye Say Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. January 31st. The people of Kemet believe that black or dark blue-black skin was a divine attribute, Ashe. Danita read. We have become petty because we remain powerless, not because we're trying to be righteous and maintain a higher standard of warriorhood, And the more powerless we feel relative to those who take advantage of our disadvantage, the more petty we become toward each other over inconsequential things. We have become so trifling in our search to be seen as having a semblance of power that we look to manufacture irrelevance, divisive differences among ourselves. We continue to place an enormous amount of energy into this wasteful habit because it gives the appearance that we're doing something constructive with our thwarted genius. We master the art of making a public spectacle of squabbling and backbiting, looking for any and everything to create disagreement about. Even more telling, we seem determined to drag anyone, even those who are only possibly remotely involved, in the petty zoo. This smallishness in thinking does nothing more than move us further and further away from any form of collective empowerment, even and especially at the family and community level, which is the foundation of all nation building. More and more of us are able to see that this pettiness is simply creating more and more divisions. They see no measurable improvement in our position as a result of all this squabbling and would gladly join in the fray if they did. Thankfully, until then, they will continue building beyond the argument. Affirm, the mentality of my melanin is priceless. Affirm, the mentality of my melanin is priceless. February 1st, the education of our people must have a purpose and a goal in it. If it is to be meaningful and fulfilling. The purpose must be instilled values and develop skills that will aid in meeting the needs of the masses of our people. Our youth must be brought to understand that they are being educated to build for our people, so they must prepare themselves to provide for the needs of all our people. Baba Zulu. Ptahotep. Baba Baruti starts with Ptahotep, and for those of us who are in, have some understanding of ancient Kemetic history, Ptahotep was from the 5th dynasty. He was a vizier. A vizier is like an a vizier is like a royal embassy man, a prime minister, so to speak. He is not the king. He speaks on behalf of the king and the people. He is an advisor. He is a sage. He is multiple number of things. And that's just like Imhotep was a vizier to the pharaoh Zoser. He was a 5th dynasty vizier to the pharaoh Dinesker. I can't pronounce it. but that's who Ptahotep. Now, the word Ptahs means God, so I'm trying not to confuse, you know. But you can, you know, check out Ptahotep. Some argue, or some say, that he wrote the first book. He was deep in wisdom, the maxims of Ptahotep. Somebody said he wrote the first book. I mean, just outstanding wisdom. And so he references Ptahotep. Ptahotep taught us that he who teaches speaks to the future. So you can see that's great wisdom, because he who teaches, that's right. He who teaches speaks to the future. Let us wisely and boldly visualize and create an empowered and sovereign African future for our people. Let us support those centered educational institutions which have truly been loyal to our ancestors, which have clearly and consistently demonstrated a righteous knowledge of who we naturally are and a dedicated and accountable and uncompromising commitment to this vision. This is a community's work and requires a selfless infusion of the best of the community's resources into these institutions, because those who stand for us and what they teach our future are wholly dependent on the community. That's right. I can't emphasize it enough. I'm telling you about this thing this weekend, the science fair. These are independent schools. They are not beholden to the State Departments of Public Instruction. Now, granted, they have to meet certain standards, understandable. But these are, their curriculum is their own. They're not dictated to. And so these independent schools must be supported by us. This is a community's work and requires a selfless infusion of the best of the community's resources into these institutions, because those who stand for us and what they teach, our future, are wholly dependent on the community to survive and thrive in this anti-African insanity. Let us be this community and make our ancestors proud. Ashe. Affirm, I'm preparing myself to better equip the children for their nation-building roles and responsibilities, and supporting these institutions which have this as their foremost priority. Affirm, I am preparing myself to better equip the children for their nation-building roles and responsibilities, and supporting these institutions which has this as their foremost priority. The Enye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Man, that's very important. Let me do this right quick. And I'm going to have a guest on Wednesday, Franklin Jones. That's right, brothers and sisters, the Black Matrix. We haven't seen him in a while, haven't heard from him in a while. He is doing well. His book is out, the second edition of the Black People's Matrix. We're going to be talking about that and a number of other things. So I'm excited about Wednesday. Brother Franklin Jones, the Black People's Matrix. But I read these things periodically. I read about what Kwame Nkrumah said when he the Speech of Freedom, and then what he said sometime later in his disappointment. And I read what Mama Marimba has said about what truly to be liberated and not be a part of the Urugu's thinking and their thought process. And also read these two pieces that I've gotten over the years. One I heard Baba Rinoco say, in fact, he said it in Hidden Colors 2 towards the end. And this one here I picked up many years ago. But the one I'm going to especially read today is Lefteveld Middleton, and I'll tell you why. Your philosophy determines your thought pattern. Your thought pattern determines your attitude, and your attitude determines your behavior pattern. Your behavior pattern determines your actions. It begins with your philosophy. What you think. And it ends with your actions. What you do. If your philosophy is that our sisters ain't no good, they bitches, hoes, and hoochies, then you will treat them that way. But if your philosophy is our sisters are to be protected, are to be cared for, are to be loved and supported, then you would treat them with care, with love and support. It begins with what you think. It ends with what you do. And let me say this. I understand that some of the brothers, and it's the same applies to the brothers. If your philosophy is brothers ain't no damn good, and we're some of the only few people that say that we're no good to each other. You notice that? I've never heard, you know, other cultures, other groups say this about their species half, their woman or their man. I've never. Correct me if I'm wrong. But you hear it all the time. So our philosophy should be that we love one another, support one another, care for one another. That is our thought pattern. And our thought pattern would determine that our attitude, because our attitude should be loving and caring and nurturing. And that would be because of our attitude, that is our behavior. And because of our behavior, that would be our actions. What you do for yourself depends upon what you think of yourself, and what you think of yourself depends upon what you know of yourself, and what you know of yourself depends upon what you have been told. Who has been doing the telling about who we are? That's why, you know, many times I read the Enye Sesem, and I got a topic for today, and it just hits.
It's like the ancestors, just that page, I go to it and it's spot on. The education of our youth, what we have been told. That's why many of us think of ourselves so negatively, because we're constantly told. And as I said earlier, moments ago, we've been trained to think niggas ain't shit. And you hear it. And you keep saying it. And it becomes self-fulfilling. This is special today because I'm going to go over a summary of our ASCAC conference that we had here this past weekend, with an outstanding job done by Dr. Reba Kelsey. She's a beautiful sister. Outstanding job, leadership, a great Midwest conference. Excuse me, Midwest. I apologize, South region. I'm from Milwaukee, man. And I was part of the Midwest, okay? But Baba Gorman of South Carolina, Benny Gorman, he did the presentation because we honored our ancestors, a presentation on Lesterveld Middleton, and his wife was also on the Zoom call. And I've been reading this because I saw this, and, you know, I've been saying for us, and if you listen to this program, been saying that you should go to YouTube and put in Lesterveld Middleton, because he has interviewed. He's asked questions to some of our greatest scholars and historians in our history, warrior scholars, Dr. Clark, Dr. Ben, Dr. Ivan Van Sertima, Dr. Joseph Ben Jochanan, Dr. John G. Jackson, many others. And I didn't know about his poetry, but this saying came up, and it is in the Inye Sesim as well. This saying came up that it is a quote of his. He says, because he was a poet, I didn't know that. We must not be the people who walked but left no footprints, who talked but had nothing meaningful to say, who labored but built nothing for themselves. And so we lay at your feet the builder's spade and shovel, the mason's troll and square, Africa's books of wisdom. Go now and build for eternity. The special meaning is the fact that this brother built his own house. He built his own house. South Carolina, it's beautiful. I mean, I am just... Of course, I never met him. He died at a young age. He was 44. As he was building the house, it was completed. He passed away. But Lesterveld Middleton, as far as I'm concerned, is a treasured and great ancestor. Lesterveld Middleton. We're going to talk today about ASCAC. And do a summary on the proceedings that we had. Now, ASCAC stands for the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations. And, you know, I've been a member for quite a while. I wish I would have been a member years prior, because I probably would have tried my best to go on that trip when they went to Kemet in 86. Two people that I know, Ron Pounds and his wife, they went, Bill and Daphne Taylor, they went. It was just dynamic and just a beautiful trip. And where 80 some people, or almost 100 people, led by Milana Karinga, Dr. Ben, Dr. Clark, and so many others, I returned home. We came home to the height, the apex, the zenith, the pinnacle of African high culture, Kemet. We came home, and we reestablished ourselves in Kemet. And from that, ASCAC was born, the Association for the Study of Classical. So we study Kemet, We studied Timari and Punt and Kush. We studied these great civilizations of antiquity, of African antiquity, because they are our foundation. And they have let us know, they let us know what we have done. So we understand what we have done, then we know what we still can and must do. It's not like we don't have a reference. I did the libation. I thank Sister Reba for allowing me to do the libation. And then we had ancestral tributes. Brother Benny Gallman, he did the one on Lesterveld Middleton. His Lesterveld's wife, Ernestine Middleton, was on hand to lend support to many of the things that were being said. And I almost teared up because, like I said, I've been reading that particular quote, you know, for months. I think I picked up that quote around the same time last year. And I've been reading it. I read them, I'd say, how many programs I got? 12. I may read it about 6 times in a month. You know, because I know you can say it's being redundant, it's being repetitive, but I call it positive reinforcement. Because remember, brothers and sisters, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, this program, African Perspectives, we're going to talk about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. There is no other discussion. Everything else is moot. Everything else is moot. And now we can talk about the Super Bowl and sports and so forth, other things. Yeah, we could. But everything else is moot. But, oh, I wanted to do something else, too, before I go deeply into ASCAC. And I'll come back to that. Because I know in the second half I'm going to talk about what importance of ASCAC. But where is that? You know, being, this is the first, and so I'm going to do a tribute on Friday of our history, since this is February and why it's February, and of course, giving honor to Dr. Carter G. Woodson, who's one another historian and person that I respect and admire, Carter G. Woodson. I'm going to do that Friday. Because like I said, I got Franklin Jones, the Black People Matrix on Wednesday. So, but you'll see if you go on Facebook or some of those other ones, you'll see tributes to our history and so forth. One of the brothers I know is a judge. Judge Derek Mosley. In fact, when my daughter came back from living in St. Louis, going to school and so forth, she had got some tickets. And anyway, she had to go in front of the judge, you know. And because I knew him, I know that he knows me, and so I'm in the audience. And but what was interesting, he looked at my daughter and said, "Hey, have you seen your driving record?" And so obviously he couldn't let her go. But today she is hasn't had a ticket, and that was many years ago. And so she's doing well in that respect. And thank goodness, hope that continues. Because, man, she was getting, I mean, it seemed like, you know, some people just can't get away with stuff. You know, they always getting caught. She was getting caught speeding constantly. So she kind of chilled that out, and we're all thankful. Definitely, because usually I got to pay for it. So I know I'm thankful. But Judge Mosley, he's going to be sitting on history. He did it the last few years. But this first one caught me, and I just want to comment on it because I have some additional information about it. He says this photo, and the photo is the lynching of two young brothers, Tommy Shipp and Abram Davis. You know, Abram Smith, excuse me. Tommy Shipp and Abram Smith in Marion, Indiana in 1930. The next photo, of course, is Billie Holiday, and then a photo of an elderly gentleman. And so he says, what do these photos and a European Jewish teacher, Billie Holiday, and Milwaukee, Wisconsin, all have in common? Well, Lawrence Bidler's distressing photo of the 1930 lynching. And I know you've seen it. It's the one where the Caucasian man is pointing upward. There's a huge crowd. There's children and so forth around. You know, this is Marion, Indiana. This distressing photo of the 1930 lynching of Thomas Shipp and Abram Smith in Marion, Indiana, inspired a European Jew teacher from New York named Abel Mirapol to write a poem called Bitter Fruit. In the poem, Mirapol expressed his horror at lynching. The poem begins, "Southern trees bear a strange fruit, blood on the leaves and blood at the root. Black bodies swinging in the summer breeze, in the southern breeze, strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees." The poem would be turned into a song renamed Strange Fruit and would be made famous by the hauntingly raw and emotional voice of Billie Holiday. The song is said to have launched the civil rights movement. Well, we can say that, and you can say that the murder of Emmett Till and the bus boycott, all of it, it all came together. The song, they said, launched the civil rights movement. The song would be named Best Song of the Century, really, by Time Magazine, and was added to the Library of Congress National Recording Registry. The night of the lynching, captured on camera by Lawrence Bidler, there was supposed to be a third youth, American African youth, also hanging from the tree in the photo. But due to the interpretation of a few citizens, he was spared and escaped lynching. His name was James Cameron. James Cameron would go on to establish three NAACP chapters and founded the America's Black Holocaust Museum in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He died in 2006 in Milwaukee at the age of 92. He was a treasure, and I'm honored to have known him. I am honored to have known Dr. Cameron, who had an honorary doctorate, but to me, ain't no damn honor. He was a doctor. Dr. Cameron was an outstanding man, and I'm honored to have known him and his son. Remembering him from when he tried to bring our history in a number of places around the city of Milwaukee that he had his museum until it finally was at a building located on 4th Street, 4th and North Avenue in Milwaukee, right next to MLK Drive, which is 3rd Street, 4th Street in Milwaukee. Had a number of events there. It was a beautiful, Dr. Cameron's a beautiful man. And of course, Billie Holiday. The irony is Billie Holiday's song. Now, we remember Lady Sings the Blues. It was Billie Holiday with Diana Ross and Billy D. Williams and Diana Ross singing. And of course, they showed her being on heroin, not as graphic at that time, but they showed it, and not as bad. But didn't know that Billie Holiday was targeted by this government, by this system, for her destruction because she made this song. Because this song was a in-your-face cracker of what you have done to us and continue to do to us. That's right, we're still being lynched. There's still strange fruits. Blood on the leaves and blood at the root. And we hanging
from the poplar tree. I remember when I first moved here, they had a disturbances were going on. I came here at the end of the fall of 2014. And then around 2015 and 16, there was the demonstrations that were going on, and a young man was lynched in Piedmont Park. And of course, the mayor wanted to make it seem like it was a suicide. Said it was a suicide. How did he get up there? How did he put the rope up there? How did he? Yeah. Because they knew that things were happening across the country, and they didn't want to happen here in Atlanta. Well, it happened again, and it happened here in Atlanta, of course, this past summer, with those students being bum-rushed and beat down by the police, and some of those police were fired, and, of course, the police that shot the brother in the back. Strange fruit. And so Lee Daniels, who made Precious and a few other movies, he's making Billie Holiday story. You know, he's making the Billie Holiday story. And the actress playing Billie Holiday is Andrea Day. You know, Billie Holiday was, of course, Lady Day. That was one of her names, Lady Day. And Andrea Day is playing her. In fact, CBS Sunday Morning yesterday. It's one of my Sunday rituals. I watch CBS Sunday Morning, some good features sometime. And this was an excellent one on Billie Holiday and the targeting of her by the FBI and the government of this country. She, because of this song, and the sister, Andrea Day, prepared for this. And so when Lee Daniels finally met her, not really, really wanting to be, he was overwhelmed by her. And she pours herself into this. She even got emotional. This is, Telly, if you can pick up that interview on CBS Sunday Morning with her, outstanding. And so she, what's that song? Rise up, rise at the day. Yeah, she truly rose up on this one, y'all. Yeah. So that's going to be out there streaming real soon. And so that's the connection when you see that photo. And the fact that has Dr. Cameron in his book, A Time of Terror. And I used to promote his book and sell it when I would go to conferences of the black firefighters and so forth, and helping Dr. Cameron and whatever. And he says there was something miraculous. They broke into the jail to get him. They broke in, they picked him up and dragged him, but somehow he said there was a voice. Don't. He had nothing to do with it. He didn't do anything. And they kind of subsided. And because, you know, they out for blood, just like what you've seen on January 6th of this year. It's a mob and a mob mentality. They all just, they thirsting, you know. They want to kill another. Oh, they love it. They want to kill another one. And so he was spared. And he dedicated his life to informing and acknowledging his people. Miss Dr. Cameron, he died at 96 years old. Yeah. So we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll go over the ASCAC conference and why is it important. Why is it important? Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays. Once again, this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times are going to give at Eastern times. Tonight, Monday, from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds will host Jahad Ahmed, followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Cambon and Nataki Cambon. And then from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lazy Oven Cobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Thursdays from 7 to 9, Melanin Live with host Chief Lance Jones and Sister Benicia Ayan. On Friday from 8 to 10, or on Friday from 8 p.m., because sometimes they go way beyond 10, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council. On Sundays, once again at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. ASCAC, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations. We held our Southern Region Conference this past weekend, and it went very well. Of course, all of these usually are now virtuals because of the pandemic. And on Friday, like I said, we had the tribute to ancestors, and one was Lester Velt Middleton, and Dr. Bernie Gallman, South Carolina, did the tribute. It was beautiful. His wife, Ernestine Middleton, was on the call, on the Zoom. And like I said, I've been reading this piece and didn't know that Lester Velt Middleton was a poet. Didn't know, the beauty that he built his own home. He built his himself. He built it. And it's beautiful, man. And so I'll read that now with even more determined and greater understanding and reverence for Brother Lester Velt Middleton. Once again, go to YouTube, put in Lester Velt Middleton, and you will see interviews that he has done with our great scholars. And one of them, of course, is Dr. Asa Hilliard. Dr. Shati Richardson, she did the honor of presenting information on Baba Asa Nana Borfo. What a beautiful man. What a great man. And he unfortunately died doing what he loved, though. He was in Kemet, leading a tour in Kemet. And really great man, and understood the importance of education, particularly of our youth. You know, Baba Asa Hilliard and his wife, Betsy Jo, beautiful, met his children here. And see Betsy Jo every now and then. She was the mayor. She was the mayor of East Point, which is a little suburb, East Point, Georgia. She was the mayor. And she appointed a friend of mine who was a sister who came from the Atlanta Fire Department. And Rosemary Cloud. She was the first American African woman. She was, in fact, she was the first woman to be a chief, the leader of a paid decent sized department. There's many of them since, but she was the first. Rosemary Cloud. She has in fact, on my way, try to get to Africa back in April of 2019, the last day I could get my yellow fever shot and so forth, she had a dedication. They built a new fire station in her honor, Rosemary Cloud. And of course, I had a chance to see Bessie Jo Hilliard there. So it's a new fire station, big one too. It's a training station, all kinds of stuff there. But yeah, Rosemary Cloud and Dr. Asa Hilliard. Nzinga Radabishi Haru. Those reflections were given by Brother Jerome Boykin. Brother Jerome Boykin was like
her secondhand man. He was always there for her, which would have seemed to me from how I looked at it. And in fact, I attended her funeral along with another brother ancestor from Chicago, Brother Ron Pounds, who got me into ASCAC. He was on that trip. Him and his wife, they're both ancestors now. They were on that trip in 86 to Kemet and started the ASCAC chapter in Milwaukee, along with another brother from Chicago, Brother Taki Ratan. And on those days that we had that, we had a nice crowd. We had some good people and good information on ASCAC. In fact, Baba Jacob Carruthers came to speak at our ASCAC in Milwaukee, Roosevelt Roberts, and Anderson Thompson, Andy Thompson. Yeah. And then the last tribute was to Larry Obadeli Williams. Baba Obadeli Williams was given by Brother Kenyatta Bush and did an outstanding job. And when he passed, when Baba Obadeli Williams passed, myself and a number of us in our community came to his home to help his brother box up his books, his tapes, all the good stuff that Baba had. And he had an array of stuff. I mean, he was loaded with information. He was loaded. Wow. In fact, I'm going to try to see if I can locate some of it, because from ASCAC, we're always talking about, you know, establishing libraries and presenting information that has been stored by members of our community like that. So, yeah, Baba Obadeli Williams. And he was, you know, he was my first impression of him. He was no nonsense, but he really was a beautiful brother, of course. You know, I had a chance to talk with him at the ASCAC conference in 2015. We had an ASCAC meeting in 2015. And they were honoring him. And then we did a pilgrimage, if you want to call it that, to Columbus, Georgia, where Dr. Clark is buried. It would have been the 100th anniversary of his birth. The 100th anniversary of his, because he was born January 1st, 1915. So January 1st, so 2015, the 100th birth, and we, you know, and Brother Obadeli was with us, Larry Obadeli Williams. And then the closing on Friday was an address by Dr. Mario Beatty. Brother Mario Beatty is the president of ASCAC. He is the president of the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations. Brother Beatty is just outstanding. He is very thorough. I've heard many addresses by Brother Mario, he's very thorough. He is good, you know. And he talked about Baba Jetty, Dr. Carruthers, and because we, you know, because since, you know, he was at Temple. He was at Temple along with Greg Carr, who was the vice president of ASCAC. And they both now are at Howard. They're both at Howard University. And they were at Temple in a doctorate program, you know. In fact, they... Him is Brother Beatty's wife, Delethea. I missed her presentation on Saturday, unfortunately. But they were calling, they were talking about and calling themselves the New Jack Scholars. The New Jack Scholars. Yeah. I don't know if you listen to my program. I mentioned them before when I was back in the 90s at the Indiana Black Expo. And that's where I met. That's where I met them, New Jack Scholars, the Indiana Black Expo. And I'll mention that some other time because it was a great one. The people I met, the things I did was just, I even had lunch with Dr. John Henry Clark. That's right. I had lunch with Dr. John Henry Clark. I had a true opportunity to sit at the feet of our elders and now our ancestors. I'm blessed, man. I always feel that way. And then we started out with a drum call, a nice drum call with the Cultural Expressions African Drum and Dance Ensemble. You know, I mean, nice. Even though it was taped, it was beautiful. And I did a libation again, and Sister Reba welcomed us And then Bobby Donaldson had a dealing with the David Walker's appeal to Georgia and South Carolina. David Walker's appeal, Monroe trial. These were men who, I'm going to tell you, I admire, because in the face of all that was going on, they had courage. They had courage. David Walker in his appeal said, hey, let us fight. Let us fight like men. I missed the youth. I did catch the sisters' midwifery piece, Sister Margaret Ridge. Excuse me, no, Sister Margaret Ridge talked about women, magic, and medicine in ancient Kemet. And that was a very good one. I missed the oral history of Catherine Adams, caught the end of it. But that's who her students at Keflin University in South Carolina. And Miss Delethea's presentation. And I caught the presentation by Sister Nakia McDonald. No, it's Sister Asia Ralph McDonald on midwifery and the importance of it, because sisters, you know, we are dying in childbirth. So I had some things I had to do, so I couldn't, you know, see all of it. And then, of course, the closing remarks, or the closing was Greg Carr on Saturday evening. And I definitely caught Greg. And he talked about the importance of establishing study groups, and they're necessary. And so that's ASCAC. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to open up the lines. Are open, of course, if you are on, all you got to do is hit star twice. That lets me know that you want something, you have something to say. 646, good afternoon, 646.
Hey, what's happening? What happened, Oshi?
How you doing, Jay? Yeah. How are you?
Good. I'm hanging in there, bro. I can't complain. You know, the crackhead ain't gonna stop, so why should I?
That's right.
You know, that's just what the deal. I just tuned in, so I didn't really know what you was talking about. Mm-hmm. So what's happening?
Well, actually,
you mentioned ASCAT.
Yeah.
How was that conference?
It was very good. Very good.
Okay.
My good sister, Dr. Reba Kelsey, her father, Moriba Kelsey, is one of the esteemed elders. He's 90-some years old, sharp as a tack, brother. He's just a beautiful man. But they have been involved in ASCAC for many years. In fact, I first saw her and met her at an ASCAC in Chicago at the Midwest region.
Okay.
This is the South region. Of course, there's a Mid-Atlantic region, which you can be a part of because you're in that area. The brother who is writing, and I'm going to have him on as a guest. He is the chairperson of the Newark chapter of ASCAC.
Newark, for sure.
Yep, exactly. Akinyele. Yep.
Yeah, good brother. Matter of fact, he's an educator. You know, he's always dropping things on Facebook as far as ASCAT and books and all of that. Yeah, he was on Elliot's show about a month ago.
Right.
Real good brother, been in the movement for a long time, and you know, doing the work. So that would be an excellent guest. I guess whenever they have their next break, you should be able.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Get them on, because I know he probably teaching classes now.
Oh yeah, right.
Yeah,
he is.
You know, it continues. I was laughing with some of Negro Queen brethren's in regards to.
You're breaking up on me, Jay. You're breaking up on me.
Stacey Abrams is, they say, going to get a Nobel Peace Prize. They're trying to give a Nobel Peace Prize. I mean, you know, this this white man and how he boosts these sick Negroes are amazing. It's just amazing. But, you know, it's going to be real interesting what happens when she runs for governor again, and if this so-called coalition is going to be able to finally put her into office, because, you know, the shenanigans are already in place.
Well, let me say this, let me say this, because there's always backlash. Okay, you know that there's always backlash. Because it's their shit, and they're gonna do what they want to do and how they want to do it.
You understand. It's, you said it the right way. It's their shit. You don't give up your shit without somebody paying the piper for your shit.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. What is wrong with black people? They think they're going to come in and take power from the white man, and the white man ain't going to make you pay the price for it. Yeah. I mean, this is what kills me with these sycophant Negroes. They really think that they're acquiring some sort of power and position in this country, and all the white man is doing is just laughing at him, because number one, let's be very clear, and I'm making this statement, the white man will never give the Negro more power than any other ethnic group before them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let's be very clear, they'll have a Baba Louis, they'll have a Chink, they'll have any other ethnic group have power before the Negro will ever have power over them or anybody else.
Okay. I agree.
I agree.
Because look at the history. As Malcolm said it best, of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward our research. When you look at the history, you look at it and you look at it objectively, and that's what we're going to do here in a minute, because we're going to go over these facts about ancient Kemet. And why
now,
it
now
was.
Last thing, O, look at the relationship and how it's being permeated between the Latino, the African-American, and the white man and other ethnic groups. And you tell me if we ain't in a position of no power whatsoever. And I just like to know, and this is what annoys me all the time, how the F you ever go let a Baba Louie have more power in a country that you built when them bastards done come over any which way they can? You got to be a punk. You got to be a sycophant. You got to be a sick Negro to ever allow it to happen. The reality is this. If we don't have the power, no one should have the power. And let it all burn down. Because I'll never allow myself to be governed and overseen by goddamn Baba Louie.
Hey, all right, Jay.
Continue on.
Okay, my brother. We're going to look at why ASCAC is important. And Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop. Dr. Diop, and I know it's many people say Diop because it's D-I-O-P, Diop, but it's pronounced Diop. Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop, we owe a great debt of gratitude. In fact, Dr. Thelafili Obenga, Mario Beatty mentioned Dr. Thelafili Obenga many times in his presentation. Once again, Mario Beatty is outstanding. He's a true. I mean, he is thorough, as I stated. But he mentioned Dr. Thelafili Obenga. Dr. Obenga, along with Dr. Obenga, was a linguistic. Dr. Diop in Senegal at Dakar University now bears his name. He was a multidisciplinarian. Dr. Diop, along with W.E.B. Du Bois, William Edward Burghardt Du Bois, were two of the most intellectual giants, not just of us, giants, period. Intellectual giants of the last century, period, of anybody, both of those men. And Diop, being a scientist, archaeologist, anthropologist, he developed the melanin dosage test, which happened to be the smoking gun to determine the Africanness of ancient Kemet, what the Greeks called Egypt. They were able to take the mummy and extract from them melanin and to determine how much melanin that they had in their bodies. Where ancient Kemetic people, I don't use Egypt, so when I see Egyptians, I'll say Kemetic or whatever. Were they African? I don't use black, I understand all these things are interchangeable, but I want to make sure that we get the proper understanding. Were they African? It's a question that has been debated and debated. There has been research conducted that proves yes. Other studies would say the opposite. But if you look closely at the huge body of data out there, the answer is they were. It's clear. That's who they were. And here are the 10 facts that prove that the ancient Kemetic people were African, were black and African. The life's work of Senegalese scholar Dr. Cheikh Anta Diop, and he lived from 1923 to 1986, was to challenge Eurocentric and Arab-centric views of pre-colonial African culture. He set out to definitely prove that the ancient civilization of Kemet had its origins in Africa, in Black Africa. He set out to definitely prove that the ancient civilization of Kemet did have its origins in Africa. He conducted melanin tests on the mummies, developed a melanin dosage test at the Museum of Man in Paris, and concluded that all ancient Kemetic were among the black or the African culture. It was African. DNA analysis of ancient Kemetic pharaohs such as Tutankhamun and families by DNAs recently found that the closest living relatives of these brothers and sisters were sub-Saharan Africans, particularly those from Southern Africa and the Great Lakes region. Scouring the history of ancient Kemet and the ancient Kemetics, several historians of ancient Greece said that ancient Kemetics had skin that was melanated. In other words, black or dark skin. Even the early Latin eyewitnesses described the ancient Kemetic people as dark skin with woolly hair. Melanated skin with woolly hair. Some of the most respected scholars in the world have said Kemet were melanated Africans. Some modern scholars, such as W.E.B. Du Bois, have supported the theory that the ancient Kemites society was mostly African. The Journal of African Civilizations, edited by Guyanese scholar Dr. Ivan van Sertema, has always argued that Kemet was an African civilization. Scholars throughout the 20th century have used the term black, African, and Kemetic or Egyptian interchangeably, all the same. But for me, I'm trying to cut ending all damn confusion. We African, yes, it can mean these things, and it's Kemet. You know what I'm saying? Get the language straight. Besides Dr. Jopp's study, the National Geographic reported in its geographic DNA study that 68% of modern-day Kemetic people are ethnically North African, with foreign invasions having little effect on the majority of modern Kemetic genetics. Well, of course, the Arabs came in the 7th century with the spread of Islam and took over North Africa. Egypt, like Libya, Algeria, Morocco, Mauritania, Tanzania. So, you know, this is, of course, the problem that that we have in Africa today. You see the people in the north with the mindset that they have, enslaving Africans, neutering African brothers. You know, when the United States did what it did to Muammar Gaddafi, assassinating Muammar Gaddafi and turning Libya into a hot mess. Under the leadership of Muammar Gaddafi, the people loved him. They were stable. They were doing great things. Until he made that move to make, to have a currency that could be utilized throughout Africa. It would have changed the dynamics. It would have been, as they say, a game changer. And the European, the Caucasian, said, no, we can't have that. We got to kill him. The blood of Muammar Gaddafi is on the hands of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton in Europe and France. Several of the most prominent ancient comedics have been described as being African or black. Queen Atmosis Nefertari, for example, is most often described as a woman of color. The queen's black skin is derived from her function as black is the color of both the fertile earth and of the netherland, the netherworld, and death. Life and death in ancient Kemet. He was the author. It seems ancient Kemetic people considered themselves as African, and they described themselves as Kemet, which means the blacks, the black land. You know, that's something that I remember learning this and having some discussion with some Caucasians in the firehouse who they didn't want to admit that Kemet meant land of the blacks. They just said this, it's because the Nile River, when it recedes after the inundation, deposited black fertile earth along the sides of its banks, and that's when the brothers and sisters get into the agricultural piece. That's when they go ahead and start doing the planting and so forth, you know. So that's what that, it doesn't mean black people of the black land. No, it means the black land and black people in the black land. The term is a collective noun which thus describes the whole people of Pharaonic Kemet as African people, according to Jopp. According to scientist Jopp's research, most of the skeletons and the skulls of ancient Kemetic people had similar features to those of modern Nubians and other people of Upper Nile and East Africa, proving they were African. They were black. They were melanated Africans. It's a better term, melanated Africans. Because they're Africans on the continent. They ain't melanated. And they claim to be African because of invasion. I don't count them as African. They are who they are. They're invaders. You know. No, the Caucasians in South African, in South Africa or in Zenia, they're not Africans. Okay, they could have been born. They might have had two or three generations born there. And that's greatly a possibility because Europeans been in Africa for quite a few hundred years. They still ain't African. Just like Malcolm said, just because a cat has kittens in an oven, don't make them biscuits. Just because these Caucasians were born in Africa, they ain't African. Hell, I'm African. Not because I was born in Africa, because Africa was born in me. According to scientist Jopp's research, talking about most of the skeletal remains, according to Jopp, blood type is also evident. He found that even after hundreds of years of intermixing with foreign invaders, the blood type of modern Kemetic people is the same group B as the populations of West Africa on the Atlantic seaboard and not the A2 group characteristics of European prior to any crossbreeding. That was reported by the Atlanta Star. So they maintain their Africanness. A good point, and this is where Baba, Dr. Thelafili Obinga comes in, because he was a linguistic. Jop also pointed out the similarities between other African languages and the language of ancient Kemet. He compared Egyptian language with Wolof and Senegalese language spoken in West Africa. Jop clearly demonstrates that ancient Kemet, modern Coptic of Egypt, and Wolof are related, with the latter two having their origins in the former. I'll say that again to be clear. Jop clearly demonstrated that ancient Kemet and modern Coptic Egypt and Wolof are related, with the latter two having their origins, their beginning in the former, having their beginnings in ancient Kemet. In the general history of Africa, Jop wrote, the kinship between ancient Kemetic and the languages of Africa are not hypothetical, but demonstrate fact, which is impossible for modern scholarship to just thrust aside. And that's a fact. He said, that's what Dr. Jop said, I can prove to you that the ancient Kemetic people were African. I can prove it. Phenotype, eyewitness, but once again, the melanin dosage test. Because one of the things the Europeans must do is to lay a claim that we had never done anything, that we had no high culture to speak of, that we had never, and particularly Kemet, they had to take that. They had to take Kemet. Because that is truly one of the highest, greatest civilizations the world has ever known. That lasted for thousands of years. Thousands of years. A model. So they truly had to take that control. And let me say this. Jop did this. He did this in 74 at the symposium in Cairo, where he laid it out almost 50 years ago. And still today, still, that's why ASCAC is so important. Because still today, when you look at National Geographic, the Learning Channel, Discovery Channel, A&E, all of them, PBS. In fact, if they show a dramatization or an illustration of ancient Kemet, the people going to be Caucasian looking. Ah, but if they show somebody serving somebody, exactly, they're going to look like us. Because that's how they roll. They're nothing but some liars, some co-opters, you know. Take a call, 334-334. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, bro. I'm sorry.
Hey.
The time in so late. Man, it's kind of cold out here.
Oh, man, it's cold all over, brother. Believe me.
True. Yeah, I had to get out of the building and go to my car to hear you.
Okay.
That was a very high-powered conference this weekend.
Yes. Thank you, man. Thank you for participating and joining in on the conference, man. Good information given out, wasn't it?
Oh, man. From the time I participated from Friday and all through Saturday, it was just amazing.
Yeah.
But you know, these are the kinds and types of discussions that I really wish sometimes they didn't have this thing called COVID.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that to be in the midst of these intellectual giants, right, and you're only like one or two generations away from Lester Velt Middleton,
yes,
and from Asa Hilliard, you know. Yes. And so all of, it was just amazing. I really did enjoy that.
Beautiful. I'm glad that you did, man. And just keep listening. I'll, there'll be more things that are happening. I'm always going to try my best to find things that are happening and bring them to the attention of the brothers and sisters that listen, you know.
Yeah. And also, the I wonder, boy, I just kind of wonder, I can only tell people here in the greater area to try to tune in, but would they do that, right? This is Black History Month. Today is the,
yes,
the beginning of this. So
yes,
do we keep the same routine that we've been doing before, or do we graduate to something new and different, right? We, and no disrespect to the ancestors that are mentioned, all right? But are there others that we need to take under consideration?
Yes.
And to learn more about?
Yes.
You know, and I heard of Asa Hilliard's books and works and Brother Carruthers, Jacob Carruthers, right?
But, yes.
You know, to actually see it and people are referring to those texts. Hey, it's not just a book you just put on the back shelf, right? You got to forever, mm-hmm, keep those texts forward and open.
That's right. That's right. They root you and they'll ground you. That's why,
yeah,
to me, that's why it's so important at this time. And yes, it's a month. And I'll go over that on Friday when I talk about Dr. Carter G. Woodson, why he did what he did and why this month is so important. And the fact that we all know that the real history of us is with us 24/7, 365. It's not just for the month of February, you know.
I agree.
You know.
I agree, sir.
And these brothers and sisters who have laid, and many of them, as I stated, particularly the older ones, they recaptured and reclaimed and recaptured and restored our history. They didn't have no foundation money, no grant money. They did it out of the love for our people. That's why I always to, you know, when Carter G. Woodson started Negro History Week in 1926 to honor Frederick Douglass, because Frederick Douglass didn't know when his birthday was. And his mother told him, "You are my heart. You are my Valentine." So he chose February 14th to be his birthday, but he didn't know really when it was. So he chose that day. And so to honor Frederick Douglass, he had Negro History Week established around that time, the second week in February. See? And so, you know, the fact that it is February, but at that same time, Brother Lusk, at that very same time in 1926, a sister by the name of Drusilla Dungy Houston wrote a book.
That's right.
The Wonderful Ethiopians of the Great Ancient Kushite Empire. I mean, profound and deep. The research that she did, fantastic. In fact, there's a quote that she has that is deeply profound. She says, "I have dug up an irrefutable arsenal of facts that Harvard or Yale or even cowardly scholarship in our race can dare not refute." And this is the deep part of the quote, Brother Lusk. She says, "How can a leadership point the way forward that is utterly ignorant of the past?"
Wow.
Man. And that's the leadership we've been having. This church leadership, because, you know, church, they ain't getting off into history because history challenged church. History puts it in its proper perspective. So they ain't getting off into the history. Jesse, Al, they don't know the history. Many of them, they don't understand the history. And so, you know, they were utterly ignorant of our historical greatness of ancient, Kemen, ancient Kush. Even contemporary. They were even ignorant of contemporary of Mali and Ghana and Songhai, Benin. They were ignorant. They didn't know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So how can a leadership point the way forward that is utterly ignorant of the past? But now there is no excuse. This information is out there, and what it is designed to do is for you to instill it in your life to make you understand who you are, what you're about, and then share that. And that's what you do. Because I know you're always bringing some good stuff, brother. I appreciate you.
Well, you know, the thing about it, too, because I would have thought we would have been investigating these other things of sorts, right? I would thought we would have investigated what it was like for Afro-Brazilians or Afro people in the South American area, or even in Australia, right?
Right.
Or even in the Philippines. I would have thought by now we would have, if we're going to make the statement, Brother Oshi, that we've been all over the world, right? Mm-hmm. And people do say that. You say, okay, well, let's talk about Afro-Belgians, right? Let's find out what happened to them or what's going on with them currently. And so we can be a little more worldly with regards to our knowledge base. So, you know, it's just interesting. And that's why I'm kind of traveling all over the place and looking at other resources.
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
And other websites and finding other bits and pieces of information. For example, I didn't know that the Gleamer in Jamaica was still going on. And that's one of the oldest newspapers from out of that area. I think it's in the world.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, so one of the person that you know I look to is Renoco, because Renoco has traveled the world. He hasn't been traveling lately, but he has. He's a primary researcher who has documented the African presence on the planet. You name a place, and he'll tell you there has been shown that there was an African presence there at one time, and it was very, you know, very live and very valuable, you know, may not be today, you know, but at one time. So he has done an outstanding job of documenting the African presence on the planet. And you're right about that, you know.
That he has. That he definitely has.
So, you know, I appreciate the opportunity to come every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday and try my best, brother, to give information and references and historical information, particularly because having the historical reference, because the European wanted to consistently tell us we ain't never done nothing, that we were running around the jungle with a rag up our ass and a bone through our nose, never having created a civilization of any kind, you know. Uh-huh. And of course, now that we see, when we reclaim and recapture and restore our history, that's nothing further from the truth. We were the beginners of almost everything. But yet today, because of the ability of the European to manipulate and control media and information, today we are the most despised and most hated people on the planet. And we never done nothing to nobody, damn it. But yet, everywhere we are, we dogged out. And yet, people have come to our continent and ripped us off and continue to do so. I don't know if you were listening last week when I played that piece by this Caucasian named Howard Nicholas, I think it is, talking about why we must keep Africa poor.
I recall that, yes.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so because they don't want you to know. And what they've always tried to do was put it in a different way so you won't know, and obscure it, you know, because, you know, what's that cliche? Truth, know the truth, and the truth shall do what?
Set you free. Make you free.
That's
make
right.
You free.
Make you free.
Make you free. That's that. Make you free.
Make you free. And yet, we have been running from the truth. And also, too, when we present the truth, for those of us who reclaim, recapture, restore it, and present it, a lot of our people don't want to know. Because by knowing, Brother Lust, it automatically changes your perspective. It automatically challenges what you think. You know, that's one time I was in a conversation, and the sister said, I don't want you trying to change my mind. So basically, she was saying, shut up. I don't want to hear that.
You're trying to change
my mind with your truth. No, it's not my truth. It's the truth.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
Because that's like I say all the time. Go ahead.
And Brother Oshi, thank you so very much for taking my calls too as well. And hook, nook, and crook, sometimes I'm on time, sometimes I'm a little late like today. But I want to support your energies and your efforts in doing this, because it is true, that once you start to know, it starts to change your paradigm on things.
Right.
And so you just can't. I just wish I would have learned this earlier in my life. So
yeah, I hear you. But you know what?
Everything has its time
that's
and
right.
place.
That's
but
right.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to continue to support your efforts and energies for what you do through this radio program and others like it too as well. So it's only in fortifying everything all around from your perspective, my perspective, and just grows on.
Right on. I appreciate that, my brother. Thanks a lot, Brother Lusk. Yeah.
Peace and blessings, brother.
Peace. Yeah, Brother Lusk has been on this program, on Dr. Rogers' program. He's been a treasure to the Time for an Awakening family, giving out good information and very thought-provoking. You know, hopefully one day we'll meet. I had to come down to Montgomery. Yeah, I'm going to probably do that and take a few folks to go visit the museum and go visit Brother Lusk, you know. But anyway, we only have a few more minutes. I definitely wanted to get that information in about ASCAC and the importance of ASCAC. You know, because a lot of times, you know, a lot of our people don't understand the importance of learning information about themselves. I know that many of us want to use the Bible as a history book. The Bible is not a history book. The Bible is stories, and some of them very good moral stories with good meaning and so forth, you know. But to me, the Bible lacks, because of the allegorical stories of flooding and parting of seas and all these other things, that we are trained or taught to believe as fact. I mean, the mass contradictions. And of course, the Bible is the infallible word of God. Infallible means there is no contradictions. It's all true. It's infallible. The truth, the whole truth, is nothing but right. And because of those contradictions. Jay. Okay. Right on.
Go ahead. The Bible is the greatest book the white man ever gave the Negro. There is no better book that the white man has ever gave the Negro than the Bible. For one simple reason, it's the thing that controls a black ass.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, Jay, because you're right. You're right. And people, because you're trained to believe that that is the infallible word of God, or how it went down, and believe that it is historical, that these things happen in that region, and that this is, you know, it is not. And you're right. And they gave it to us. You know, it is a book that is full of murder. It's a book that is full of murder. It is a book of thieves, of people taking people's stuff, of people taking people's women. It is a book of, you know, immorality.
It's the blueprint to what he is. That's all it is. That's all that book is a blueprint to what the white man is, to justify it. And to show you how he uses that justification to keep you brain dead, to keep you deaf, dumb, and blind.
Yeah.
The white man is the master manipulator. There's no one on the planet more of a manipulator than the white man. No one. I mean, no one. No one has done what the white man has been able to do to the world.
Yeah.
There's no people on this planet.
Yeah.
That the white man has ever gotten along with. Everybody that is his supposed ally, he's been to war with him at one time or another.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The reason why he might be the ally, because he subdued him.
Don't that tell you something?
Yeah. Yeah, he subdued
him. Why did they become their ally? Because of one thing, domination.
Yeah. They've been dominated.
And wanted to survive. And we don't, and you know, unfortunately, that isn't, that courtesy isn't given to us as African people, and we don't even understand it.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing and mind-boggling how, with all of the information that is at our midst, into dealing with the white man and knowing the white man for the filthy, no good, stinking piece of sugar, honey, iced tea that he is, that we still gravitate to him on every aspect of our being.
Yeah.
Every aspect of our being. He controls every basic thought that the Negro has in him moving forward as a human being. And that's the most treacherous and dangerous thing in the world, because we can't even think for ourselves as an African people. We can't define ourselves culturally as an African people without the midst of that no good, filthy, stinking devil overseeing it. It's a damn shame.
It is.
Just like
it is.
The only good thing and the most important thing that we have to counteract and counter-react to that madness is what happened this weekend. Organizations like ASCAP. Because imagine, if we didn't have organizations like ASCAP, the Negro wouldn't know a goddamn
thing. Wouldn't know nothing.
Right.
Exactly. I mean, but so that's why, to me, that's why I honor, you know, J.A. Rogers and all the men and women, Drazilly Dungy Houston, and truly these brothers and sisters, they didn't get no money from the government. They didn't get no money from nobody. Hell, they probably didn't get no money from us. And
better believe it.
You know, but yet they dedicated their lives to reclaiming and recapturing this history to present it to us. They're vital, you know? And so, to me, that's why I've always gravitated to these warrior scholars. I'm not saying, you know, any of the other scholars of times gone by were not good, but they were so well trained by Europeans in the halls of their academia. And believe me, many others are. They're trained in, but they understood, like Amos Wilson and Naeem Akbar, they're trained in Michigan, University of Michigan, or some other school. They probably didn't go to a HCBU. And even the HBCUs, Mirror Caucasian University, a lot of times they didn't want a strong African presence and leadership at HCBUs. Historically, HBCUs. Historically, black colleges and universities. But you know, you understand what I'm saying? They probably didn't want them there. You know, because it would scare all that European and corporate funding that they were going to get. You know, they just wanted those to mirror Caucasian schools. They didn't want independent thinking. Thinking outside of the imposed boundaries that Europeans have placed upon us. They didn't want that. They want you to be good Negroes.
Ain't nothing in the world like a good Negro.
That's for sure.
He's the greatest thing on the planet. Don't get it twisted when you're talking about a good Negro. A good Negro that could buck dead, shuffle, shake his head, and do all of those things for the benefit of the white man is well rewarded until he do something against their interest. Prime example of a classic Negro that we're talking about is O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
O.J. Simpson the darling of the white man?
Oh, loved
he
it.
He was bedding white women.
Oh, loved
he
it.
He was making commercials.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't think of no other Negro at that point in time that was the spokesperson for Jungle Fever and Loving the White Man. Than O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of any other Negro.
We can probably figure that out, though. But you're right, because I gotta get out of here. But you're right. AJ, thank you, Hotep, dear friend. Brothers and sisters, we end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed. Brothers and sisters, this program is dedicated and committed to trying our best to help free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell, damn it, don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, it's been a good day. A lot of good stuff going to happen this month. Stay with us. And in fact, give me a call if you got some ideas. I'm always free to that. You can text me or email me at oshioshi427ade@gmail.com. oshioshi427ade. A is an Apple, D is a blog, E is an Edward, @gmail.com. Brothers and sisters, have a blessed and wonderful day. Shimhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibifahodie. Bibifahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family.